just taking, I keep taking you out of context, like not knowing what you're talking about and just hearing these little sniffs. Yeah. You are the cheerleader of Greenbelt.
All right, I'd like to call the Planning Commission meeting of May 23rd to order. Commissioners, can I have you unmute your mics? And Madam Clerk, can you call the roll, please?
Good morning. Commissioner Wyatt?
I'm here.
Commissioner Simpson-Spearman?
Here.
Commissioner Shaw?
Here.
And Chair Viacana?
Here.
And letting the record show that Commissioner Campbell is absent.
All right, can you all stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Is there any public comment on matters not on the agenda?
No request to speak.
All right. So I'll close public comment and ask Erlyn for any staff updates.
Sure. So good morning, Mr. Chair and Commissioners. I'm Erlyn Singwald, Environmental Coordinator. So starting off with appeals of the last Planning Commission meeting on May 9th. No appeals have been filed. However, the deadline to file an appeal is 5 p.m. today. There's also no Board of Supervisors actions on planning cases to report out on from recent board meetings. I did want to let your commission know that the Cambria Christmas Market appeal is scheduled for a Board of Supervisors hearing on July 9th. As far as upcoming Planning Commission agendas, so we have a few items scheduled for June 13th. One is a request by the county to amend the county land use ordinances to update the flood hazard area standards and associated definitions as requested by FEMA. Two is a request by Michael Ticcone and Sean O'Brien for a variance to allow for grading on slopes exceeding 30% to widen and construct an all-weather access road and to construct an approximately 2,400 square foot home with 983 square foot detached garage workshop and other site improvements. That project's located on Santa Rosa Creek Road, about 9.5 miles west of Templeton. Then third is a request for a second time extension by Santa Margarita Ranch for a vesting tentative tract map and conditional use permit to subdivide a portion of the Santa Margarita Ranch into 111 residential lots, five agricultural parcels, one 2.5 acre building envelope with a primary dwelling and ranch headquarters on an open space parcel and a ranch headquarters site and a remainder parcel. That's it for June 13th. The following Planning Commission meeting on June 17th, there's currently one item scheduled. It's a request by Mitre Farms Trust for a land use ordinance amendment and vesting tentative tract map for a 23-lot residential single-family subdivision on a commercial retail parcel located on North Main Street in Templeton. The next meeting currently on the docket is July 11th, but no items have been scheduled for that meeting, and the July 25th meeting will be canceled. That concludes plan and staff updates. I'm available for questions.
Erlyn, I just have one question for you, or one request. For that amendment for the planning ordinance in terms of when you're looking at the flood mapping and the different definitions according to FEMA, could you also be able to provide us in terms of what that impact would mean for flood insurance for individuals and if it does have any impact? So just something to think about, please.
Sure, I'll pass that on to Corey Hahn, the Long Range Division Manager, who will be the lead on that item.
Any other questions for staff? All right, thank you for the update. All right, Madam Clerk, can you introduce the first hearing item, please?
Yes, our first hearing is a hearing to consider a request by Colin Wayrick for a general plan amendment and land use ordinance amendment to change the land use category designation for a parcel from residential rural to residential suburban and to modify the Templeton community standards to reflect the land use category designation change and remove the building coverage limitation standard for two parcels. County file number LRP 2023-00003. This is in Supervisorial District 1, Project Manager Claire Momberger.
Commissioners, is there any ex parte? Nope. All right, hearing none. Erlyn, could you introduce the project team, please?
I will. So Erlyn Singwald again, Environmental Coordinator. I will introduce the project team. So Claire Momberger is the project planner. She'll give the staff presentation. And Eric Hughes, Principal Environmental Specialist, is here for support as well.
Thank you. Good morning, commissioners. Claire Momberger from the Long Range Planning Team here before you this morning with requesting a recommendation to the board for a general plan and ordinance amendment request for Colin Wyrick. Starting with background on this project, it was authorized by the Board of Supervisors for processing on July 18th of 2023, pursuant to the typical level of staff analysis. The purpose of the request is to allow for increased subdivision potential, allow for the construction of additional shade cover structures, and to ensure sufficient consideration of potential environmental impacts. Here's the summary of the request, kind of in two portions. The first being a land use category change of an approximately 15-acre parcel from residential rural, RR, to residential suburban, RS. And the second portion of the request is to includes removing a building coverage limitation, amending according land use figures, and then establishing a discretionary land use permit requirement. This map here is just showing the project site in the red star and its vicinity to surrounding urban reserve lines. It's within the Templeton URL, and it's in the Salinas River sub area of the North County planning area. Here's an aerial showing the project site, which consists of the approximately 15-acre residential parcel, which is outlined in red on the left. And then on the right are two commercial parcels outlined in blue. The bottom parcel is about 8 acres, and the top parcel is about 3 acres large. The residential parcel on the left is where the land use category change is proposed and the planning area standard is proposed, where the commercial parcels on the right are where the ordinance amendment is proposed. And as you can hopefully see here, the project site is bound on the south by Championship Lane, Theater Drive on the east, and North Main Street to the north, and then the project site is about 300 feet west of Highway 101. Zooming into this aerial, you can see the existing uses. So in the residential parcel outlined in red on the left, that parcel is vacant. And then the two commercial parcels in blue on the right are used for the Wyrick Lumber Company. This map here is just showing surrounding land use categories. So to north, south, and west, it's generally surrounded by residential rural, the residential rural category. There's a small commercial service portion to the north of the project site. And then nestled into the project site is a public facilities parcel. And then obviously the project site is bound on the east by Highway 101. And the last map I have to show you is the surrounding uses. To the north, there's an active vineyard and a single family home. Like I said, nestled amongst the project site is actually a Caltrans department office. And then immediately to the south of that residential parcel is the Templeton Tennis Ranch. Okay, moving into the request. So the applicant is requesting to change the residential parcel outlined in red on the existing map on the left from taking it out of the residential rural inventory and putting it into residential suburban inventory. And so along with that request, staff is proposing the map on the right of this screen just to show that the subject parcel would no longer be included in the gray area where there are standards in the Templeton community standards for residential rural parcels if the applicant's request is approved. And as a reminder, the applicant is requesting this land use category change to have greater development potential on their property. So going row by row, I have first the land use category, then the second row shows the minimum parcel size, and the last shows the maximum number of allowable parcels on this 15-ish acre property. The middle column is showing what the existing potential is if the applicant were approved for a subdivision. So if they maintain their status as residential rural, the minimum parcel size would be 5 acres per parcel, which on this 15-ish acre property would work out to about three parcels. If the applicant's request to change the land use category to residential suburban is approved, the minimum parcel size comes down to just 1 acre per parcel, and then they could achieve a subdivision into 15 parcels without applying applicable land use ordinance standards or the standards of the LAMP, our local agency management plan, which manages or regulates on-site septic. And with that change of land use category, staff is proposing this planning area standard to be added to the Templeton Community Standards, specifically in the spot where it describes standards for residential suburban land use category. The purpose of staff proposing this standard is to reconcile the land use category change that's happening now and whatever future development may happen on the site. So I won't read the text. This text is in the staff report and also in the attachments. But to summarize it, this planning area standard ensures that future development of the site is evaluated for compatibility with the surrounding land uses and that it will be subject to environmental review under the California Environmental Quality Act. The standard would require that initial development undergo discretionary review through the approval of either a conditional use permit or through the recording of a subdivision map. And so the standard in the subsections is also requiring that designated developable areas be established in order to avoid sensitive habitats on the property, and also that any subsequent development is in compliance with either the approved conditional use permit or a recorded final map. So along with the text of that standard, staff is proposing to include this map here to identify the exact area that the proposed standard applies to, which is the grayed out parcel, the applicant's residential parcel. So that really wraps up the information on the residential side of this request. On the commercial service side of this request, the applicant is proposing a land use ordinance amendment to remove this section on the screen from the Templeton Community Standards, which limits ground building coverage to 20% of the site. Really, the purpose of the applicant's request is so that they can construct additional shade covers for outdoor material storage for lumber and other materials. And it is important to note that future development or adding additional shade covers would be subject to applicable building height and setback requirements in the Templeton Community Standards and would require either a zoning clearance and or a building permit. Staff is recommending a general rule exemption for this request, and a notice of exemption has been prepared pursuant to CEQA guidelines. And it's important to note that with the proposed planning area standard, future proposed development would be subject to environmental review under CEQA. So finally, we are requesting today that your commission recommend to the Board of Supervisors that one, they adopt the resolution to amend the land use element for the proposed land use category change on the residential parcel, and two, that the board would adopt the ordinance to amend the inland land use ordinance to establish the new planning area standard, would amend the according figures in the land use ordinance, and then finally would adopt the ordinance to remove the building coverage limitation standard from the Templeton Community Standards. Thank you.
All right, thank you for the presentation. Are there any brief questions for staff at this point? All right, hearing none. Is there an applicant who has a presentation?
Yes, good morning, Chairperson Viacana and Commissioners. My name is Ian McCarville. I'm a land use consultant at Kirk Consulting. Today I'm here on behalf of Colin Weirich, and we'll be sharing a brief presentation on his proposed general plan and ordinance amendment. So the project is located within the community of Templeton, west of Highway 101 and about a half mile south of the Paso Robles Urban Reserve Line. The project includes two requests. First, we're requesting a general plan amendment to change the land use designation of the 15 acre parcel from residential rural to residential suburban, thereby increasing its allowable density. Second, we're requesting an ordinance amendment for the two commercial service zone parcels to the east. This amendment aims to remove an unnecessary building coverage standard that was originally intended to mitigate visual impacts from Highway 101. Since this standard was established, landscaping has been planted along Highway 101 and has been matured. Therefore, this standard is no longer needed. Eliminating it will allow for the construction of additional shade structures to protect outdoor storage materials from the weather. Here we have the exhibit showing the residential rural parcel to the west, which is proposed for that general plan amendment, and the two commercial service parcels to the east, which is proposed for the ordinance amendment. The parcels proposed for the ordinance amendment are currently house the Wyrick Lumber Company, which was first approved back in 1995. As a part of the general plan amendment to change the land use designation from residential rural to residential suburban, certain findings were made. In summary, the site is surrounded by smaller parcels that are consistent with the residential uses of the residential suburban land use category. And while the change in zoning would allow a small increase in density, it would still be consistent and compatible with the surrounding uses. For reference, looking at this slide, the parcels to the south are about 1 acre, and then the parcels to the east are ranging from about 2 to 4. Additionally, residential suburban parcels are encouraged within the urban reserve line and in areas that can be served by the CSD. Here's an image of the future vesting tentative tract map, which we plan to process once the general plan amendment is approved. The map will create 6 residential lots with lots 5 and 6 having building envelopes to ensure proper setbacks from the riparian area in the southwestern corner of the site. Currently, the parcel is zoned residential rural and would have the minimum parcel size of 5 acres, which would only allow 3 lots to be processed or to be created if we were to process a subdivision today. By changing the zoning to residential suburban, the minimum parcel size does become 1 acre. However, due to the local area management plan or the LAMP, we would actually be required to have a minimum parcel size of 2 acres. This is because the average natural rainfall in this area ranges from 15 to 20 inches per year, and that governs the minimum parcel size, which would be 2 acres. Therefore, the future parcels will range from 2 to approximately 4.26 acres. The subdivision is intended to be served by the TCSD for water. The site is currently allocated 6 water credits, which would be the kind of governing factor in the maximum allowable density for the site. So no more than 6 residential units would ever be able to be developed. Additionally, this slide includes a map illustrating where the existing sewer line is located on the east side of Highway 101. Given the complexities with extending this across Highway 101, that's why we're doing the on-site wastewater treatment systems. Here we have the ordinance amendment for the commercial service parcels. Shown on this slide is the current ordinance standards, which restricts the building ground floor coverage. And here we have a slide showing the mature landscaping along Highway 101, which makes this planning area standard no longer necessary. So in summary, the proposed general plan amendment aligns with the current policies and standards of the general plan and land use ordinance. Additionally, the ordinance amendment seeks to eliminate an unnecessary and restrictive planning area standard, which will allow the applicant to build additional shade structures to protect outdoor storage materials. Therefore, we would like to request that the commission recommend to the board that they approve the staff recommendation and adopt the resolutions in attachment 1 and attachment 3. Thank you, and we are available for any questions.
All right, thank you. Any questions for the applicant? All right, hearing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this?
No public comment.
All right, so I'll close public comment and bring it back to the commissioners for discussion.
I was just gonna say, I think it's great project. It's recommended by staff. I was also impressed that TAG approved it, as well as the San Miguel Advisory Council. So I thank them for their work. You know, it's not easy. So I would be ready to make a motion when everyone's discussed.
Yeah, and I just wanted to, I feel the same way. And I wanted to just thank staff and the applicant. I think that this project was really well done from a homework standpoint. And I really appreciated attachment 4, Claire, which was the guidelines for amendments, so I could review that and counter.
the various areas. Very well done. Thank you.
I also am fine with this. My only question to staff is my usual concern that I'm not a fan of these ad hoc GPAs. If we have some public purpose in changing our general plan and our zones, maybe we should extend benefit if this is a good project, or we want to see RR become RS and then increase density, that maybe we should do this for more parcels. So I guess that's my general question. That's not opposition to this, but kind of if we're doing this on a notion of benefit, what is our process or mechanism to extend that benefit to the other landowners in the area and not grant special privilege to this one parcel, or only, or benefit only to this one parcel?
I can begin to speak to that. So part of a GPA, a general plan amendment process, is that the applicant's request, before we even start processing, as staff goes to the board to ask, would you like us to authorize, or would you authorize processing this request? And in preparation for that, as staff, we use the inland framework for planning to evaluate the applicant's request in terms of its vicinity to services and surrounding land use categories, the timing of the request in terms of, you know, what's happening in this community, and also the necessity of the request when it comes to, you know, other land use category, the inventory of that same land use category in the area. That was all present for the board in that initial staff report at authorization last July. And there, the board did have discussion about this very subject of what would it look like to widen this sort of land use category change. But in the end, they, you know, voted for staff to authorize the applicant's request as is. Some of the concerns were, you know, if the applicant's request, individual request, is stalled and a wider approach was taken, where would the burden of cost fall? I think that was kind of the big reason why the board went ahead with having staff process the applicant's individual request. I'll let the environmental coordinator take it from there.
I think Claire did a great job responding to the comment. I mean, I would, of course, add, we've had this discussion before on different general plan amendments. You know, really the ideal mechanism to take a comprehensive picture of land use is through a community plan update process. And when we receive an applicant submitted general plan amendment, we have to process that application on its own merits. Like Claire explained, there is a process during authorization where the board could give us direction to look at a larger area around the subject parcel. And if we receive that direction, we would need to do an environmental determination that covers that larger area and analyze, you know, the potential impacts and, you know, general plan consistency of that broader change. But that wasn't the board direction ultimately on this one.
What I'm hearing is basically there need to be some constituency to really push for that broader area plan change to create some impetus for the broader zone change or area plan change there.
And that typically happens within the context of our annual board priorities report for the Planning and Building Department. And it'd be typically, you know, sponsored by a supervisor of that district based on what they're hearing from their constituency.
Okay. And so we could guess area landowners may be paying attention, or somebody may notice this and initiate that process if they so chose. Lean on their supervisor for that. Okay. Thank you. That's helpful. Thank you very much.
All right, I'm very supportive of the project as well. So at this time, I'd look for a motion.
Okay, I'll make the motion. I move that we recommend that the Board of Supervisors adopt the resolution in Attachment 1 to amend the land use element of the County General Plan to change the land use category of the project site from residential rural to residential suburban, and recommend that the Board of Supervisors adopt the ordinance in Attachment 3 to amend the county and land use ordinance to establish new planning area standards that require discretionary review of the initial development or subdivision of the project site. Amend figure 104-40 of the land use ordinance to reflect the proposed land use category change and to remove a building coverage limitation standard from the Templeton Community Standards that applies to the project site.
Okay, I second that motion.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? Madam Clerk, can I have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Simpson-Spearman?
Yes.
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yes.
And Chair Viacana?
Yes. All right. So on to the next. Madam Clerk, can you introduce the next item, please?
Yes. Hearing item number four is a hearing to consider a request by James and Deborah Saunders for a conditional use permit to construct 36 multifamily residential units on a 2-acre parcel. The project would consist of 7 one-story buildings, on-site parking, and landscaping. And the project will result in ground disturbance of the entire 2-acre site. This is County File DRC 2019-00252. Again, in Supervisorial District 1, Project Manager Elizabeth Moreno.
Commissioners, is there any expertise on this item? I do know the applicant just through the wine industry, so just for the record. All right, Erlyn, could you introduce the project team, please?
Yeah, so Erlyn Singwald, Environmental Coordinator. Our project team on this item is Elizabeth Moreno, who's the project manager. She'll give the staff presentation. Sitting with Elizabeth is Cheryl Koo, Supervising Planner for the South County Planning Team, and Eric Hughes, Principal Environmental Specialist.
All right. Good morning, Chair and members of the Planning Commission. My name is Elizabeth Moreno, Project Manager with the Planning and Building Department. Before you today is a request for by James and Deborah Saunders for a conditional use permit, DRC 2019-00252. The applicant is requesting approval to construct 36 multifamily residential units on a 2-acre site. The project includes 7 one-story, 2-bedroom units, buildings, 64 on-site parking spaces, landscaping, and access to, access improvements. Here we have a vicinity map of the project site. The project is located in the community of San Miguel. The project site is currently surrounded by recreation and residential land uses categories to the north, Highway 101 to the east, recreation and the Mission of San Miguel to the west, and vacant recreation land use carries to the south. And then here's a aerial view of the site. Here is the applicant's proposed site plan. The proposed 36 units will be configured within 7 one-story apartment buildings, and they will include about 5 slightly different designs. And the applicant will have 2 point of access off Monterey Road. And they're down here. And additionally, the project is including a 6-foot tall metal noise wall along the western side of the property line, adjacent to Highway 101, and then also to the side setback on the east side of the property line. And this is an example of the floor plan of one of the buildings. As I mentioned earlier, there will be 2-bedroom apartments. Here's an example of the rendering of one of the buildings. And here's a rendering in color of one of the buildings as well. And the proposed design will include a Spanish style with red tile roofing and stone accents to resemble the design of the Mission of San Miguel. And here's a landscaping plan. The applicant will surround the property line with trees, native trees, and also native planting on site. Here's some examples of some renderings of possible amenities that the applicant can provide to the residents on site. For example, picnic tables, benches, stuff of that nature. And And this is a cross-section illustrating the line of sight, showing that the apartment units will not obstruct the view of the Mission from Highway 101. So Highway 101 is here, and the Mission is down here. The project also includes a request for an exemption from the site setback requirements. A minimum of 30-foot site setback is required on sites larger than 1 acre. A smaller setback it may be granted with approval of the Fire Inspection Authority, and the applicant has received approval from the San Miguel Fire Authority to reduce the site setback from 30 feet to 10 feet. We do have some revised findings and conditions of approval for this project. For the revised conditions of approval, there's a typo. I'm sorry. For the revised findings of approval, there's a typo, and that is on item A. Instead of South County Plan Area Plan, it should read San Miguel Community Plan. And then for the conditions of approval, we added a condition of approval that reads, prior to submitting applications for building permits, the applicant shall submit revised plans to the planning department showing final amenities for the residents on site. And then we also revise condition of approval 42 to include specific language to specify that prior to occupancy, the applicant shall provide a copy of the rental agreement to the planning department, and that rental agreement shall include notification informing the prospective residents about the potential health risk of exposure to diesel particulate matter due to being near to Highway 101. With that, staff recommends that you find the project consistent with the previously certified final EIR that was prepared for the San Miguel Community Plan update, and approve the conditions of approve the project based on the revised findings listed in Exhibit A and revised conditions listed in Exhibit B. With that, staff is available for question, and that concludes my presentation.
All right, thank you for the presentation. Are there any questions for staff at this point?
Yeah, I just had maybe one or two. So this is not affordable housing. This is going to be market rate rentals.
That is correct.
And any guesstimate of what that rent would be?
The rent in San Miguel is a lot lower than other places in the county. Like, for example, in San Luis Obispo here, mm-hmm. We did look into some projections of what that would be. And it's kind of hard to say, but what I saw online, like two-bedroom apartments are going for $1,800 or $2,000 in San Miguel.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then my other question, and I don't know if this is more for Public Works, there was a letter in here from the bike, the SLO County Bicycle Advisory Committee, and they were concerned about lack of access except by car. It's right off the 101. Is there any access to public transportation or, what is your response to that? Because they seem just pretty concerned.
My first comment would be, as far as bikeways plan, that's our guiding document. There are bikeways identified in San Miguel. Slow Monterey Road, this is kind of a side road with very low traffic volume. So the standard that would be used for construction for them to complete their project side, they would need to complete a 36-foot wide street, curb to curb. And in that street section, you have 8-foot parking, 10-foot lanes, 8-foot parking. They're gonna have to do a 6-foot sidewalk. So, pedestrian connectivity, sidewalks with the rest of town. But as far as being a bikeway, like a class 2 or something, that wouldn't be warranted with the volume of traffic. And it's also not in the bikeways plan. It's a side street. It doesn't really fit that criteria.
Okay, so there will be sidewalks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes.
All right. And do you know, like, is there a bus stop anywhere nearby?
Not offhand. I mean, I'd have to look that up.
Okay. Yeah, they just seemed concerned about that. So, all right. Thank you. Those were my questions.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you. Is there an applicant that has a presentation?
Thank you, Commissioners. My name is Chris Allen. I'm the architect for the project. Apologies, I had hernia surgery on Monday, so walking is not my specialty. I wanted to add two comments just to reiterate what Elizabeth had mentioned during her presentation, which was that the project is being proposed in a rec zone area, and specifically with multifamily, it's an allowed use, as she mentioned, within the San Miguel community plan. To respond briefly with regards to the low-income housing component, this project was actually proposed in 2019 by the applicant. It was held up, and I took over the project from the previous architect. His original intention was actually to try and bring a lower income housing stock to the vicinity. But in the process of a 5-year workflow, it just may not eventually become low income housing. His approach is obviously to keep it as low as possible, but the end result will be in response to what the construction costs are and what the availability of the stock, housing stock is in the area. So I don't have additional presentation per se, but I'm available for questions. And yeah, thank you.
Questions for the applicant?
Yeah, before you leave, could you just kind of clarify what you mean by the 5-year workflow? What do you mean by that?
And apologies for maybe misconstruing. So 2019 was when the project was initially submitted for approval or for review. In the time between 2019 and today, construction costs have obviously dramatically increased. And so when we look at the budgets that he may have had walking into this project to what the budgets for construction would be today, it's unlikely that the low-income housing would fit the qualification of what would need to be brought back out of the project in order to have it be viable. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you for coming up, being here today. I had one question for you about on-site amenities. I'm still a little vague as far as what's being proposed as far as resident amenities. We could guess that there will be some children and families at this site, that there's a decent likelihood in the two-bedroom apartments times 36 of them. We might speculate there might be 30 or kids around. Could you speak a little to what amenities there may be or outdoor areas? I saw a bench and a picnic table, but a bit unclear there.
Yeah. So the approach there is that each one of the units actually has its own kind of privatized porch. And so there's a seating area specific to the units themselves, but then in between each building are open spaces that are intended to be basically organically developed as the tenancy sees fit. So if we propose things that may restrict the ability to have, let's say, a small garden or swing set, you know, it starts to kind of blend into being more problematic than beneficial. So the intent right now is to allow the benches to be held specifically in the kind of more public areas, the corridors and access ways to the units. But the spaces in between and around the buildings are intended to be allowed for the tenants themselves to kind of determine what they see fit best. The other benefit that this property has is obviously the adjacency to the Mission. The Mission, whether it's considered an amenity to the community, I would assume it is, the tenancy probably are gonna find pride in the fact that they have that directly adjacent to this property. And so I think there's going to likely be much more interaction between the Mission and this property than maybe some of the other areas of town and the Mission. And so the Mission will become an extension of amenity to this property.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable case there. So I'm just a little bit, we'll talk more, but the plan is to have few rules or sometimes in apartments or condos, you get very detailed restrictions on what people can have on their porches. But so the thinking I'm hearing you describe is not too tightly regulating what amenities people kind of provide for themselves or what fills the common spaces. Could we see, Elizabeth, could we see, I guess I'm not understanding what the outside amenities are from what I've seen or how large these private spaces are. I mean, it looked to me kind of like an exterior entry or I don't see the enclosure on the private areas or just how that would work. It may well, but do you have some kind of plan that would help us understand what that exterior enclosed?
So in terms of enclosure, it's exclusive to the porches at the front of each one of the units. There's the surrounding spaces that encompass the property as a whole are not intended to be restricted per se, but would be intended for that the actual tenants to be able to leverage how they see fit. So if, for instance, one of the buildings has four units in that one building, that four-unit building could theoretically come to the consensus that, like you say, children would have a benefit with a swing set. And so that area might take control of a certain portion of that surrounding property that would allow for a swing set. But for us as the applicant to put a swing set in place of a location that might benefit the property owners with a garden bed could be prohibitive rather than beneficial. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. I speculate myself on what some unknown future tenants may indeed want.
Yeah.
But I think it would be a fairly safe speculation here that there will be some number of children. So a swing set or some really close amenity with eyes that parents can keep eyes on from their homes would be of benefit to them at relatively low cost. So I know the challenge here, but I also see how it's nice to think of organically kind of forming units, putting things on the site, but that also comes with a host of challenges as far as liability and risk and unsightliness as far as it, whether it meets everybody else's aesthetic. So I don't see that really working without very specifically enclosed patio areas that are within the jurisdiction of each individual household. And I'm not seeing those proposed because all I saw was wide open frontages. So if you imagine the patios serving that purpose, I can kind of see it, but I'd like to see some enclosure there on that separation between kind of private-ish space and public space. Maybe go back to the elevation that showed just kind of wide open frontages. There may be some enclosure or something there I'm not seeing, but right, I'm just seeing kind of front doors. There's a bit of a, I don't know, portico or coverage there where the arches are.
And that's correct. Those are specific to each unit.
So each has that covered, and then is the door recessed there? I guess I can't quite tell.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The covered area creates how much sort of private space?
It's about 70 square feet per unit.
Okay. So each one has a differentiated enclosed private area there.
Yeah.
So, okay, I see. So that adds some outdoor something. Well, I don't know if others, I think you're right with the mission nearby and the kind of, if not exactly public, open to the public-ish space. I don't feel like there is nothing there or a lot has to be provided, but a few more things could help. So I don't know that we need to write it in unless others are interested in a little more specific conditional language that some amenities for kids be added somewhere. any interest in that? Or I haven't gotten much interest in that in the past, so I'm not expecting it here. But I think you've heard me. And if there's some way to include the swing that's safe and in a place that makes sense and a few small kind of easy amenities, that could add a lot of value for residents.
I agree.
And so that was it. Thank you.
I would probably say I think that's a good point, and it's a good investigation line that you went through there. I mean, I also agree. I like your organic. It's nice people can do what they want to do, right, and do it together. But you do make a good point. I don't know what the mission has to offer for outdoor activity for kids. I don't know that answer. And I don't know if that would make a difference as well. But it was a good discussion, a good line of thought. What do you guys think?
I think just from reading, I mean, you're required to have certain open areas. And I think as the project develops, maybe something will make sense. I mean, I just think from looking at the design, even just the sidewalks between all the buildings, I mean, I can see kids riding their little bikes up and down these sidewalks, and I think having a great time because it's protected from the parking lot, so that's kind of nice. So I guess I'm just not as concerned as someone who always had a swing set in their backyard and their kids never used it. So, you know, kids are going to find something to do as long as there's the open space and that's required.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think the kids will find something to do. I think for me, the more important thing is to get some lower income or lower affordable rental units. And actually, I think if you tried to put a swing set in, you're probably going to sacrifice a unit or two because they're you know, unfortunately are not those big open spaces where you have that view that you were talking about from each individual unit. So,
yeah. And on a positive note, I really did like the design, yeah. How it fit in with the mission. That looked sharp.
All right, any other questions for the applicant? All right, after the surgery, we'll let you sit back down.
Oh, wait. Mr. Chair, I just had a quick response to Commissioner Shaw's question. So as far as a bus stop, it looks like the nearest stop there is Route 9. That's Mission and 14th. A little ways away, it's 7 blocks. So whether or not a bus stop could be beneficial at this location, that's something that's initiated through the RTA. As you know, that's a joint powers authority. They keep, in my experience, pretty close tabs on growth of communities and new neighborhoods and needs. So I think it's something that is a reaction on their part, and it's something that's initiated by them. And then if they see that there's a need, then they come to Public Works and say, "Hey, is it okay if we put a bus stop here? What are you looking for in terms of, you know, setbacks and design and stuff?" So that would be the process for seeing if one would be.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that. I mean, even 7 blocks, you know, if you need it, you need it. That's not insurmountable, but
yeah, especially if you have a bike, that's reasonable. You know, for larger projects like Dan Reserve, obviously there was a more proactive discussion with them, you know, because we knew that we're definitely going to need them, you know, but for incremental projects like this, as a community builds out and changes over time, the RTA staff, I know Jeff Schraw is very, you know, he notices everything, you know, so.
Yeah. All right, any other questions? Is there any public comment on this issue?
No request to speak.
All right, so we'll close public comment and bring it back to the commissioners for a discussion.
Well, I had one. I missed a beat. I a few beats as usual. I did have one more question on proximity. Elizabeth, it's a rec zone, and this takes some of that open space. I did drive by there when I was up there recently and see the open parcel. So this property takes some, but there's still some open rec land to the south of the parcel along the highway, right? So it was just kind of curious. Could you give us a sense? I'm looking at the map right now of all this open space. This 2-acre parcel takes half of that open space, maybe in that kind of triangle between Monterey Street and the highway. Oh, a little more than half, because to the north is a church parcel, a social hall or some sort that's not a large building but is in the middle of that plot. So we have just a little sliver to the south. The mission then is to the east. So roughly maybe an acre of the south to the south of undeveloped rec zone.
Yes, but there's also recreation throughout the community of San Miguel as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just trying to think in terms of the question about access. I also read Skip's letter from the advisory council about the lack of full sidewalks and access here. And I was just trying to think what else may be reasonably developed on this street. And so we could guess if this is 36 units on 2 acres, there could be another roughly 20 units on that remainder rec parcel, just as far as added density to the street. And we're speculating here, but would that be a reasonable speculation?
So, Erlen Singwald, environmental coordinator, it is difficult to speculate. You can see that's also a fairly irregularly shaped parcel, which could make it, you know, challenging to, you know, efficiently plan a development project and know exactly how many units you can get in there when you consider parking and other factors.
Right, right. So 20 is probably high for that small parcel. Well, just in terms of added density to this street. So in terms of your question, Miriam, about access and multimodal access, I am also very sensitive to that as a biker and walker mostly, but I had the same thought that staff expressed. It's a relatively minimally traveled road, so even being out in the middle of the road there doesn't look too risky or hazardous, and the likelihood of a lot of further development or increased use of that road doesn't seem too high. So I was okay without a whole lot of expensive off-site improvements in this location.
And then I'll just say that the applicant is proposing 8 parking spaces for bikes on site. So there'll be some space for bicycles as well, even though the surrounding area doesn't right now currently accommodate bike riding, but there will be the opportunity for future since there will be bike spaces on site.
Great, great. There is some nice riding around there. North River Road nearby is a fantastic shoulder, so there are some general area opportunities if the road itself, the little road itself, doesn't have bike lanes. I also wanted to just thank staff for the notes about 101 proximity and air quality. So thank you. I saw the letter from APCD, and we've seen conflicting kind of support or lack of support for multiple projects on the 101 corridor over the last year. And so I thought it was interesting. We've actually seen a variety of support letters from APCD for housing projects, particularly in Napomo, that are along the 101 corridor within the same proximity. So I was interested to see the lack of support for this project. But with the MERV 13 or better air filtration, and I think the disclosure to residents that you've put in there and required, that minimizes those impacts. And I'd rather see the housing. So I think it's important to note there will be some air quality impacts. We know air quality along the highway is poor, but as we look for options and weigh trade-offs for much needed housing, I'm okay making that trade-off. And the parks and amenities, again, I think there's enough around. I guess I'd encourage all applicants to build in some kind of program for kids in projects we know will have a fair number of them. So I'd like to see that, but I won't try to push some strict program or know what that is on site.
And then also, Commissioner Wyatt, we did add that condition number 5 where the applicant has to submit revised plans specifying what types of amenities he will be providing before building permits are submitted. So we will require some kind of review prior building to building permits submission.
Well, that's great if staff can kind of push that or maybe has a better sense of appropriate scaling or placing than I have right now. Thanks.
I'm ready to make a motion, and I guess we'll just see where it goes. I'll move that we approve the conditional use permit based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B.
Okay, I'll second that.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right.
And I believe staff provided revised findings and revised conditions of approval.
Yes, including the revised conditions. Thank you.
And findings.
And findings.
All right. So we have a motion and a second. Madam Clerk, can I have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Simpson-Spearman?
Yes.
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yes.
And Chair Viacana?
Yes. Thank you for your presentation. All right. Madam Clerk, can you introduce the last hearing item, please?
Yes, our last hearing item is a request by CJ Hortzman for a conditional use permit to allow a freeway identification sign and other on-site improvements, including a proposed drive-through fast food restaurant and shared parking lot. County file N-DRC 2023-00023. This is in Supervisorial District 4, Project Manager Eric Tolley.
All right, Commissioners, is there any ex parte on this item?
Just that I drove by it.
All right. Erlyn, could you introduce the project team, please?
Sure. Erlyn Singwald, Environmental Coordinator. So our project team is Eric Tule, Senior Planner and Project Manager, who will give the staff presentation, along with Holly Fitt, Supervising Planner, and Eric Hughes, Principal Environmental Specialist.
Good morning, Commissioners. Eric Tule, Senior Planner, Building and Planning and Building. Before us today is a conditional use permit, NDRC 2023-00023. Applicant is George Ghazali, agent CJ Hortzman. This project is a request for a conditional use permit to allow a drive-through restaurant highway identification sign at Highway 101 in Teff Street in Napomo. The drive-through fast food restaurant consists of is 2,000 square feet. There is shared parking with adjacent gas station and convenience store. The highway identification sign is 48 feet tall and 121 square feet total. Included with the project is various on-site improvements. Just for reference, the reason why we're here today is because of the highway identification sign that requires a conditional use permit. The new construction of the fast food restaurant itself requires a minor use permit. So. This is the area map of where we're located, squarely in Napomo, right off of Highway 101. Here, as you can see, Highway 101 and West Teff. This is the land use map, again, squarely located within commercial retail. This is an aerial map. As you can see here, the site is located right at the corner of the northbound West Teff Street off-ramp of Highway 101 in West Teff. This is a better view of that same location. The site itself is undeveloped and vacant. This is the site plan of the proposed project. As you can see here, the proposed drive-through restaurant's located here in the very rear of the parcel. The proposed highway identification sign is here at the corner. Located here is the existing convenience store and gas station, which will have shared access and parking. These are some renderings of the highway identification sign. Again, max height is 50 feet. They're proposing 48 feet. This is a elevation of the front facade of the future drive-through restaurant. Just FYI, the signage, the applicant did not request a modification to the signage itself. And the future tenant is conditioned to apply and gain applicable signage permits. This is another rendering of the highway identification sign. So you can see here, this is its kind of conceptual view from Highway 101. There, this is the existing, it's pointing to the existing McDonald's sign located on the other side of West Heth Street. And then this is the view of the highway identification sign from West Heth and the off-ramp. The project does include a modification that was brought before you yesterday via a staff memo. The Old Town, to put it in context, the Old Town Napomo Design and Circulation Plan Policy Standard 14.1 drive-through lane uses to encourage a pedestrian orientation in Old Town. Drive-through lane uses are prohibited. Within your the memo that was sent to you yesterday before you, Exhibit A, the revised findings, finding I, we made findings to justify the modification request. For starters, the project is located in a visitor serving priority area per Napomo community standards. It is a encouraged visitor serving use, a restaurant with existing drive-throughs located within this priority area. The site includes unique pedestrian constraints, which I can get into. And the project's drive-through restaurant is sited in the rear of the lot, minimizing drive-through queuing safety concerns. And finally, the project has been conditioned to reconstruct sidewalks to meet public safety standards. Within the Old Town Napomo design and circulation plan, modifications are permitted via a minor use permit. Again, this is a conditional use permit. This is the Old Town Napomo Design and Circulation Plan purview area. This is considered Old Town Napomo. So you can see our site is located to the far west edge of this purview area, right here at the corner of the US Highway 101 and West Heth Street, just to put it in context for you. Speaking of the visitor serving priority area, the Napomo Community Standards does call out this area as being visitor serving. All the areas shaded in gray have been designated visitor serving. Just to put it in more context, there is all these surrounding land uses and these fast food restaurants that exist within these quadrants have drive-throughs as well. So the point driving home here is that it's not unlike what's already there. Staff's recommending approval of the conditional use permit based on the revised findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B. Staff's recommending the adoption that this project is categorically exempt from environmental review under CEQA. And staff is available for any questions you may have.
All right, thank you for your presentation. Are there questions for staff at this point?
I had a quick question, just one thing you said at the beginning. So the reason the project's here is because of the sign.
Correct.
Like, if they weren't doing the sign, they are zoned for this.
They are zoned appropriately for this. However, the Napomo community standards require any new construction to have a minor use permit.
Got it. Because I did notice that the feedback from their South County Advisory Council, they were just very concerned about traffic and people turning out of there. Has there been some remedy to that situation, or can you talk more about that?
Yeah, that's correct. The South County Advisory Council did recommend denial on this based on traffic concerns, and that has been hashed out with the applicant in Public Works, and I think Mr. Grimm would be best to speak on that.
Okay.
Yeah, so we first reviewed the project back in 2021, I think, and that was the first thing I noticed. You know, it's the proposed driveway is near is you know, it's a narrow frontage lot, right? So they only have a narrow, you know, room to work with, and so the proposed driveway would be fairly close to the intersection. So we looked at Caltrans standards for nearness to the ramps. Minimum on theirs is 50 feet away from the ramp intersection. That's the same as the county standard. So we asked them to, well, show your site design with that driveway access the furthest back as you can make it. And so that's what you're seeing today, I believe. And then we reviewed their traffic report, their first one, and we provided feedback on that. And then we got another one a little while later with recognizing some of our wishes and adding some of their own mitigations, speaking to having adequate queuing length for whatever use is going to go in. It needs to be at the back of the lot. So if there is a line of cars going through drive-through, there's, you know, room for 12 cars to line up on the property with no chance of them, you know, spilling out. Another condition was the right-in, right-out, which is probably the most important one. Just obviously, it would not accommodate left-turn movements. So that is a condition on the property, on the project. In addition to that, they will need to install some kind of a we'll probably be looking for a raised median in the center lane right there to inhibit any, again, left turn movements, but also people trying to, you know, get cute and go, you know, straight across into the Chevron gas station, you know, straight across. So these are typical things that you see in urban areas all over. So it's nothing too creative. It's they're pretty standard mitigations for something like this, where they have the right to access, and so we need to try to accommodate that and then inhibit unsafe turn movements.
Okay, because the advisory council, they made their determination April 23rd. So has all of this been since then, or they knew all this, but they still were like, no?
In reading their letter, I hesitate to, you know, impugn what they were trying to express, but it seemed like the right-in, right-out measure itself wasn't enough or something. Mm. I think that was my best interpretation of their letter. Again, I would just say these are standard measures for accommodating uses near corners and near intersections. You know, we had the applicant go through two rounds of traffic analysis, and then we also consulted with our traffic operations unit in Public Works. Okay. So I'm very confident that with the conditions and the raised median coupled with right in, right out, it'll be fine.
Okay. And then it says in the materials it's a restaurant for food, but then in other places it says coffee. Does anyone know what it is?
Well, right now it's a conceptual restaurant. It could be a drive-through restaurant. I don't know if the tenant is has been confirmed yet. So it could be coffee.
Oh, I was just saying, if it was a Dairy Queen, we would be making a motion right now. Okay, that's all I had.
Any other questions?
Yeah, Eric, I just had a couple. I just wanted a clarification here. On the site development in the conditions of approval, number five, can you just, I'm just having a flashback on another project we had some time ago where they spent quite a bit of time trying to get signage. And just walk me through this a little bit.
Yeah. All that is number five. All that's saying is that the applicant shall provide a signage plan for any signs that will be located. Yeah, what that's saying is that when they come in, when the tenant comes in, and when the tenant's selected and is going in, that they, like I mentioned at the start, is that they're going to need a signage plan when they submit for permits for those signs. And those signs are going to have to comply with Title 22, because as of right now, we are not requesting any modifications in overall square footage of signage, excluding the highway identification sign. So it basically, that's just saying that, you know, they're going to need applicable permits and have to meet Title 22.
And I think I was leaning towards what the level of oversight on those permits were, because I think you recall that one project where they had been trying to get a sign for a long time. And I think there are other complications to it, but I was curious about Is that just an over-the-counter permit?
You want to?
Holly Phipps, planning staff. If it meets ordinance requirements, it can be a zoning clearance. If it's above that, then we'd have to get a modification of that standard, and it would be a hearing item.
Any questions, Ed? All right. Is there an applicant or agent with a presentation?
All right, good morning, CJ Horstman. I'm just the agent here, architect that worked on these projects. Thank you for looking at this with me. So just wanted to reiterate a couple things Eric had pointed out. Again, we're here. This has been a process that we started back in 2021 with what we were trying to accomplish was would be a, for a lot lease for a potential tenant to come in and build a building. We worked with staff through that. They wanted to actually see a full building design, signage design, site design. So we're trying to kind of navigate that through the last couple of years. We don't have a final tenant identified, but we'd like to clear the path for that tenant to come through. So any modifications would be coming back for further review, including signage and things like that. But we'd like to get all the bases covered. So addressing traffic, circulation, site layout, the building footprint, even to an extent the building design are all things that we're excited to present here. One thing we did cover was South County Advisory Council. So I actually attended our first South County Advisory Council meeting back in 2022, I think September 2022. At that point, those first concerns were raised about, first the positives. The council was highly supportive of the use. They said it feels appropriate. You know, the Old Town Napomo plan has a lot of, there's a lot of overlays on this one site if you start looking at it. And so we're trying to say, okay, what's a compatible use that works with kind of that existing gas station that if you've driven by, there's a lot of queuing problems. There's a convenience store behind. There's no parking for folks that just want to get off and go to the convenience store. So trying to find a way for these two sites to work together, providing more parking up front so folks could actually park and walk to the convenience store. And then that queuing wouldn't become a problem for the future drive-through use. Our first site plan actually had the drive-through use queue line starting, kind of coming down that center aisle and turning farther down the site. So actually, the advisory council, we corrected this and put that lane all the way down along the Highway 101 off-ramp frontage, just so folks could immediately pull in and segregate into whether drive-through or parking for either the existing convenience store or for the proposed drive-through use. So I think our, you know, on site, we've mitigated as much as we could. And then that comment had kind of lived with the project as we went through traffic studies about, okay, how do you provide access to a parcel that is literally right on the corner of an off-ramp and a major intersection? You know, as the design team, we think we've done everything on site possible, and we've worked with David's department over in Public Works to come up with mitigation measures, the kind of right in, right out, restrictive turn, I think will help. And then even further, willing to build up a median to prevent folks from trying to cut the corner and cross over to get onto the northbound on-ramp there. All things that, you know, our client has happily worked with and said that should work. I think any use essentially here that would provide vehicle access would have the same issue come up with South County Advisory Committee. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend in my The owner wasn't able to attend that meeting. I was out sick and he was actually traveling. So I didn't actually get a feel for the room at that time. But from the comments, I think David said it's like, we've done what we can to address this from the first meeting, which was a couple years ago. The use and those things that we were most concerned about, I think have been addressed and mitigated. And then we've gone through some efforts to actually provide additional landscaping and things like that to beautify the site. We're looking at a complicated little project here on the corner, but I think from a use permit standpoint, it's rather simple. So happy to answer any further questions you guys have. And I think we've been working closely as staff through this part, so we're on the same page.
All right, thank you. Any questions for the applicant? All right.
So you're not going to tell us what it's going to be?
I don't, there's a couple major ones in play, and I will Dairy let Queen? You know as soon as we know.
You should have just said Dairy Queen.
Yeah. Correct answer, Dairy Queen.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment on this item?
No request to speak.
All right. So we'll close public comment and bring it back to the commission for a deliberation.
You want to start? Okay. I'm starting in the pause. I'm fine with this is the nutshell of it. However, I do have a little bit of angst, challenge about how to kind of reconcile this, what I consider noble dream of a pedestrian kind of orientation in this old town and putting in a drive-through. So I appreciate staff's added findings to kind of clarify the reality that the noble dream doesn't exactly jibe to a 50-foot you know, wide parcel next to a major highway at an intersection. So that's my struggle a little. I think probably the advisory council, you know, suggestion for denial reflects that challenge, that there's really a vision for this area for something very different than what it actually is. And we're not moving any toward that vision here. That said, our narrow parcel on the highway interchange is not going to likely be the place for that vision. Unfortunately, that saddens me. But here we are surrounded by other such uses. So it's not the place to make a stand. So I'm in favor and fine with the project and appreciate the efforts that staff have made to try to minimize the potential impacts and congestion close to the corner.
Yeah, just being really familiar with the area, I do think that Old Town, you know, will build up and get that synergy. They've started doing like holiday parades and stuff like that, but this is like right at the edge. It's more highway than the town. And I don't think it's going to hinder that future, you know, synergy. So I guess for that reason, I'm okay with it. I'm always just, I have pause when the advisory council doesn't like something, but as we know, when people from Napomo don't like something, they usually show up. So I expected this place to be full when I read that. So it's zoned basically for this, except for the signage. So I'm fine with it. And I'll make a motion, and then we could have more discussion. I'll make a motion. We approve the minor use permit and DRC 2023. 0-00-0223 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B.
And there's a revised or added finding.
Oh, and added findings. And revised findings.
Just to note, it's a conditional use permit.
And staff's recommendation, okay. All encompassing of staff's recommendations as stated.
And I'll second that.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? All right, can we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Simpson-Spearman?
Yes.
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yes.
And Chair Viacana?
Yes. All right, thank you. All right, so that wraps up our hearings. Can I get a motion to take all testimony and correspondence into the record?
Yes, so moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
Aye. And can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Yeah, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes. All right, meeting adjourned. Thank you so much. Thank you.